the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Praise in the City. I am Tiffany Bacon, and I thank you so much for joining me this morning. I know I sound a little weird, so I apologize in advance. I do have a cold, but I'm working through this thing. Thank you, Lord. I'm working through it, so just bear with me if I sound a little scratchy at times. It's been a minute since we've been together live in studio, and I'm so glad you decided to join me. Let me give you the phone number so you can reach us. We have an awesome topic. We have a great guest here who is representing the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and he is going to be talking about the relationship between forgiveness and healing, especially as it relates to your cancer treatments. But just we're going to get into it as far as how forgiveness can affect your health overall, but we want you to be a part of this discussion. The number to reach us is 215-263-1039. As usual, we're going to get the morning started off with a moment of inspiration.
Oh,
I love it. I love it. Your moment of inspiration here on Praise 103.9 FM. You are tuned to Praise in the City. I am your hostess, Tiffany Bacon. Thank you again for joining me. Joining me in studio is our very special guest, the Reverend Dr. Michael Barry, who is here representing the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Reverend Dr. Barry, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. It's great to be with you, Tiffany.
Thank you so much. Now, you are doing some amazing work. Please tell everybody what it is you are doing with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Well, I'm the Director of Pastoral Care at Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia. But I'd like also at the very beginning of our interview to make clear that I am a fiercely loyal stakeholder at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I love what I do. I love who I do it with. But I'm also a minister of the gospel. So your listeners need to know that they're listening to a pastor in addition to somebody that happens to be working with cancer patients each and every day.
And this is awesome to know because you spend a lot of time talking about or dealing with the relationship of forgiveness and how it plays a big part in the psychological and emotional well-being of patients.
Sure. Let me explain how we got to the point of even having a conversation about forgiveness with our patients. We meet with each of our patients and have about a 30-minute conversation with them as part of our three-day introductory meeting with them. And over the years, Tiffany, what I would so very often hear people talk to me about were emotional wounds that they had experienced. And so it wasn't too long before I realized that our patients were really struggling with what we would call as Christians forgiveness-related issues. Now, I have 8 years of formal theological education. What I've learned over the years is that I have yet to find a medical school, university, or seminary that teaches its physicians, pastors, or psychotherapists how to help people find forgiveness. And so it wasn't enough for me just to listen to my patients. I needed to actually find ways to help them. And so we've developed a forgiveness education program.
Wow.
And guess what I've learned?
What's that?
I've learned that there's a high cost to hatred. A high cost to hatred. As we harbor these feelings of anger and hatred toward people who have hurt us or ourselves, it seeps into our very bones.
Wow.
It affects not only our interpersonal relationships, it not only affects our relationship with God. Can't say you love God and hate your enemy, but we also know that there are some very predictable health consequences to harboring the hatred. So when we talk about forgiveness, what we're really talking about is the high cost of hatred. It affects every aspect of our life. It affects our culture. It affects our families and sometimes even our faith communities.
Right. Now, how often do you treat a patient or run in, you know, have a casual conversation with a patient about someone who might not even realize they have hatred in their heart? How do you handle a person who claims they have no hatred for anyone, but their behavior and the way they speak would suggest otherwise?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. Working at a cancer hospital, one of the things that I've learned is that whenever you are diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, which of course cancer is, very often people are motivated to try and talk about things with us. And sometimes it's easier to talk with someone that you really don't even know about these things than someone, you know, your local pastor or whatever. So we find our patients very willing to talk about what's going on in their life. They want every advantage in their fight against disease. And learning about or being aware of the impact that our emotions can play on our physical well-being, our patients are actually very forthcoming about what's going on in their lives in every way.
Okay. I want to hear more about the direct care and treatment that you do and the work that you do. But could you speak a little bit to preventative care? What can you say to the person who at this moment does not have cancer or any debilitating disease? What would you say to them about working on this hatred thing, working on unforgiveness?
The challenge for us all as Christians, and in Christianity does not have a cornerstone on forgiveness. Every religion values forgiveness. Jewish friends value forgiveness. Muslims, we'd all rather talk about it than do it, but we all value it. And so the challenge is to try and to help people learn how to develop a lifestyle of forgiveness. It's actually a process that requires a great deal of humility. Because when someone hurts us, Tiffany, our first human response is to demonize them. It's to say, you are a bad person.
Right.
And guess what? You don't want to forgive a demon. You want to destroy them. And so the challenge in helping people deal with their forgiveness issues and to develop a lifestyle of forgiveness is actually to realize that the people who have hurt us aren't demons. They're human beings.
Right.
They're flawed. They're broken, damaged in some circumstances. But at the same time, they're not subhuman. And so as we begin to take a really hard look at the person who hurt us, we also have to take a hard look at ourselves. And that can often be a very humbling proposition, because even though we didn't hurt someone the same way someone hurt us, that doesn't mean that we haven't ever hurt anyone.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we're not also a perpetrator of harm in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole process of forgiveness, learning how to develop a lifestyle of forgiveness, requires a great deal of personal humility.
That, I mean, it sounds so amazing. It sounds so simple. But then I think of things like what's in the news right now, the three young women who were held captive for 10 years, and imagining what they would feel, imagining what their parents feel. And to be in a place where you have something so horrible, so wretched happen to you, to be able to forgive that person, especially right now in the middle of it, it just seems so insurmountable, a task that seems insurmountable. How would you speak to someone, say they just were diagnosed with cancer, but they had such a horrendous trauma happen to them not so long in their past?
Well, let's go back to the conversation about the girls in Cleveland, okay? And let's try and interject ourselves into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
When we are confronted with that horrible tragedy, or any other tragedy for that standpoint, we bring along with us our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We are not separate from our faith. It's integral. It's part of who we are, how we think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, those are, the most horrific scenarios, nevertheless, we do bring our faith. It was our faith that informed us to do.
Mm-hmm.
What should we do?
We should trust in God.
Matthew 6, 14 and 15, forgive and you be forgiven, but if you don't, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Do you know what that says to me?
Mm-hmm.
Unforgiveness is unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. Unforgiveness, according to Jesus, is unforgivable. So he wants his people to be identified as a forgiving people.
Okay.
So forgiveness is not an option for us. It's an obligation.
Yeah.
Forgive and you be forgiven. The gospel of God's grace.
Yeah.
He's forgiven us. My body broken, my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And he, in light of the fact that he has forgiven us from all of our horrible things that we've done or thought or said, he expects us to be able to forgive. So anytime you talk about forgiveness in general, Tiffany, it always brings us back to the cross.
Yeah.
The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. So even in a situation as horrific as the girls in Cleveland or any of the shootings and so on and so forth, even though it's difficult, it's something that I think our faith requires of us.
Awesome. Awesome. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reverend Dr. Michael Barry, who is joining me this morning. This is Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. We would love for you to be a part of today's discussion. You have two opportunities to call in. One, if you have any questions about the work that Reverend Dr. Barry is doing, especially as it relates to cancer treatment, forgiveness and wellness, please call and ask him questions. He's only here for a little bit of time, so this is a great opportunity for you to pick his brain and find out some great information about what he is doing. Also, you can call in to answer the question, if you have trouble with forgiveness, what would motivate you away from that? What would motivate you to forgive? If you are actually having trouble with forgiveness, what would motivate you to forgive? So either topic, give us a call, 215-263-1039, 215-263-1039. I want to go back to the work that you were doing at CTCA. Talk about some of the interesting scientific information that you have about what you're working with in terms of forgiveness and how it affects your health.
Sure. So I meet with each of our patients when they come on campus during their three-day evaluation. And I've written a number of books, one of which is on forgiveness, by the way. It's entitled The Forgiveness Project. But a book that's really influenced me, Tiffany, is a book entitled The Science of Evil. And it's written by a guy by the name of Simon Baron Cohen, not Sacha Baron Cohen, Simon Baron Cohen. And what he does is he juxtaposes evil with empathy. And he uses Nazi Germany as an illustration, how over a period of time, people feel as though, the Jews in Germany became objects of people's hatred. They became dehumanized. And what he says about that culture in Germany is that over a period of time, it reached the point where you could turn a human being into a lampshade and not lose sleep. So being very dehumanized. And he says that empathy is the opposite of that kind of evil. Empathy is when you listen to people, Tiffany, and then you respond as you are able. Not just listen, but respond. And we do that in a wonderfully beautiful way at CTCA. We listen to our patients. Many of them feel as though they have been just a number. And they come to our centers looking for someone that is going to listen to them and respond as they're able. So as I'm listening to my patients and I'm hearing them tell me about the heartbreak, you know, whether it's divorces. I mean, for example, in my book, I detail the story of a woman whose husband was kidnapped while they were living in Mexico.
Oh, my goodness.
Held him hostage for 8 months. There, eventually, she's able to get his release. She's diagnosed after that with stage 4 metastatic breast disease. And so here I have a woman who is just overwhelmed and filled with anger and hatred because of the turn of events in her life and the fact that she's coping with that. It isn't just enough to listen to her. I had to find some way to be able to help her dig out this bitter root of hatred that was in her heart, because we know from the science of it all that internalizing all of this negative anger and hatred creates a state of chronic anxiety. The biology is actually quite easy. Let me just give you a real quick overview.
Okay.
So when we have all of these emotions that are stored up in us, this anger and hatred, it creates a state of chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety releases stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. Adrenaline, for example, does a very predictable thing. These epinephrine, these adrenaline molecules, will land on various parts of our body. When it lands on our liver, a molecule of adrenaline, it causes our liver to produce glucose, which is sugar, which gives us the strength to either fight or flee. When it lands in our heart, it causes our hearts to beat more quickly. The same thing with our lungs. Our lungs are going to beat more rapidly and so that we can oxygenate our bodies so we can survive, fight or flee. When adrenaline lands on our digestive system, however, it causes a different reaction. It causes our digestive system to vasoconstrict.
Okay.
So that the blood isn't going into our GI system. Because at that point, our bodies don't think that digesting our breakfast or whatever is the most important thing. It senses that there is something that's a stressor in their lives. So our bodies are designed fearfully and wonderfully by God to maximize the energy to put those resources where it needs so that we can survive. So it abandons worrying about digestion and focuses upon maximizing our strength to our muscles and legs so we can survive. But another stress hormone is cortisol. Cortisol does a very predictable thing as well, one of which is to shut down our immune system. Our immune system is not an organ. It's this vast network of in our lymph system and so forth. So in the presence of cortisol, it causes our body to stop production of natural killer cells, which is your body's foot soldiers fighting against cancer. So all that is to say is that we're trying very hard to increase our patient's immune system so they can have the best chance to beat their disease. So it's not enough to just listen to our patients, tell us about their tragedies and their emotional wounds. We have found a way to be able to help rid their hearts of hatred, bringing them a higher quality of life and the best chance to be able to beat their disease.
Amazing. And it just brings so many things to mind. I just think of anyone who's had any trauma, which of course is going to produce a lot of stress, and the acting out of children in schools, and just how people are addicted to whatever, food, sugar, caffeine, drugs, whatever, and how that all plays a part. So that's very interesting and good to hear.
Also. Well, there's lots of different ways that we cope with stressors, mm-hmm. whether it's a forgiveness-related stressor or not. Sometimes we cope in helpful ways. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll exercise and so forth. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of ways that we cope unhelpfully. Mm-hmm. And obviously, eating is one of them. Mm-hmm. We can be eating the wrong foods. Mm-hmm. But also, it's important for your listeners to realize that many of us don't do anything. Mm-hmm. When someone hurts us and we're wounded, our hearts are wounded. If it was a physical wound, we'd go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. But emotional wounds, we very often don't do anything. Mm. And what happens is that we adjust, we create a new norm, a new emotional baseline, and don't do anything. And we reach the point after a period of time that it's been so long since we've been happy, we don't even know what it feels like anymore.
Wow.
And so, but yet, that chronic anxiety continues to be created, and these stress hormones continue to be a part of our life, and we are not coping effectively with our emotional wounds.
Awesome, awesome. Powerful conversation here on Praise in the City this morning. We would love for you to be a part of it. Give us a call, 215-263-1039. If you have a question for Reverend Dr. Barry, please feel free to give us a call before he leaves this morning. And also to answer the question, if you have trouble with forgiveness, what would motivate you to forgive? Reach out, 215-263-1039. Let's go to the phones. We have I'm going to call you Neff because I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, and I don't want to disrespect your name. Neff is joining us on line one. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Could you please pronounce your name for me so I have it correct?
My name is Neferua.
Neferua. Okay. Neferua, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm really enjoying. I'm driving home from work, and I'm really enjoying you guys talking about forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiveness has been like a thorn in my side all my life. I'm very resentful. I hold on to stuff. I relive it. And like as I got older and I started to experience life, the same hurts and pains that had been done to me, I found myself doing to other people.
Mm.
And, you know, resentment is like a thorn, and it does make you sick, like not just physically but mentally. Mm. And what I had to find myself doing, like even with my mom, the person, you know, I probably loved the most, I had to forgive her in order to move on and be able to build a relationship with her because she had hurt me so bad, and I trusted her so much because she's the person who's supposed to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, it's like drug addiction and abandonment issues, and, like, finally, through walking through my own storm and through my own trials, I was able to see what she went through, and it was able to give me the empathy to know that it wasn't her trying to hurt me. It was just life terms. And, like, now we have, like, the bestest of friends. We talk on a regular basis. You know, like, she's my confidant. And it's only because, like, I had to experience what she went through to be able to see. Like, it wasn't her. And, like, when you – this opened me up to be able to understand when other people hurt me. Like, they're not intentionally trying to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
It's never, like – most people are genuinely good, and their intention is not to hurt you. I mean, their motives may be bad, but it's not to personally hurt you. It's not a personal attack against you. And, you know, like, when you got God who protects you and, you know, even when people hurt you, it's like a comfort in your pain to know that he's there with you and you're suffering and whatever you're going through. And, I mean, I've gone through a lot, and I've known that he's carried me through it all. So it's made it, you know, easier to forgive and let go and let him and fix it and, you know.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you were able to find that place of empathy for your mother. I would like to have Reverend Dr. Barry to respond to you if he has thoughts.
Neferua, thank you very much for that. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, I have the distinct honor to be able to take what we have learned about forgiveness and travel all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
In the last year, I've spoken at 100 different venues and to all different sorts of people, not just cancer patients, but, you know, just average folk. And not surprisingly, the emotional wound that I hear people describe the most are parent wounds. People who have unfinished business with their fathers, Quite often it's because they were absentee. They just weren't there. And what they very often learn is that they were angry at a parent, but if they don't address those, what happens actually is that that anger over a period of time grows into hatred. It's called psychological kindling. You know, if a little piece of wood eventually will grow into full-blown fire, the same thing happens to us psychologically. It's called psychological kindling. So these little bitty things that we're angry about over a period of time can blow up into full-blown rage. And so very often people have a lot of unfinished business with their parents.
All right. Neferua, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for sharing your story. And we appreciate you listening this morning.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Have a great day. All right, we have an anonymous call and John from Philly on the line. We're going to get to your comments in a matter of moments. We're going to return to our conversation, but we're going to take a break. But stay with us. Praise in the City returns right after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. In the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are in the midst of our conversation with Reverend Dr. Michael Barry. He is representing the pastoral care team at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And we are talking about the link between spirituality and fighting cancer, the link between forgiveness and your total well-being. If you have a question for him, now's a good time to call in and ask any question you have about what it is that he is doing, which is awesome, amazing work. Or if you'd like to call in and answer our question, which is, if you have trouble with forgiveness, what would motivate you to forgive? Reach out to us at 215-263-1039. Let's go right to the phones. We have an anonymous caller from Philadelphia on line two. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. Hi, thank you for joining us.
And I was calling in regards to the forgiveness piece.
Yes.
I'm having right now. Usually I don't have any problems with forgiveness, but right now, since September, I am having problems with forgiveness. Now, when it's centered around my husband who had an affair, there is a baby outside of the marriage. I went and tried to speak with a therapist in regards to everything that I was feeling, and she turned me off by telling me to put him out. I am a professional in the human service field, counseling, therapy, and I know that that is not one thing that you tell anybody, you know what I mean? But it's just, I'm really, really having a tough time with it, for real. And it's like, I think that if he showed more caring about the way that I feel, then I might be able to get over it. But it's like, when I get an attitude or when I start thinking about this, it's like it's a battle between us. And the reason why I feel this way is because of him. I lost a job in regards to this.
I'm sorry. I'm going to need to pause you right there so we can have the Reverend Dr. Barry respond to you at this moment, because we do need to go to a couple other callers, if that's okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So in addition to parent wounds, we've also learned that infidelity is a fairly common problem that people suffer with, and helping people, you know, get over the hatred that they have. So to the caller, I would say this. Imagine that I'm holding a cup of water, and that water represents hatred. When I empty the water out and then write the cup back up, it's not suddenly full of love. That's pretty unrealistic, but it's not full of hatred. And so the challenge that we have is to rid our hearts of hatred. It's not to encourage people to stay in relationships that they may or may not need to be in, but what we're trying to do is to help a person rid their heart of hatred. So having said that, I just want you to know that it is possible for you to be able to work through these issues. You need to know that when infidelity takes place, your relationship has been devastated and it will never be the same. The challenge for us is to rebuild our marriage on the foundation of forgiveness. If we choose to rebuild it on the foundation of hatred, quite obviously, it's unreasonable to expect good things to happen. And so you need to know it is possible to be able to work through this. But having said that, our program is based upon the power of God to transform the human heart. Anytime a heart that is hardened by anger and hatred is transformed into a heart that can feel love again and compassion, etc., that's a miracle, and we do not do miracles. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, we educate people. We try to create a healing environment, but at the end of the day, if you ever find peace again, if you ever find that your heart is emptied of its hatred toward your husband for what he's done, it's a miracle. And so we invite our patients to pray. We invite them to educate themselves. And in my book, The Forgiveness Project, I tell a number of stories, several of which have to do with people who've been through divorces. So there is hope, caller.
All right. And thank you so much for sharing. God bless. And we hope that things work out. Okay.
Right. You have a great day.
All right. You do the same.
Bye.
Let's go to John calling in from Philadelphia on line 3. John, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I'm in a situation whereby I have two friends, male and female, of course. They've been together 17 years. He's a Muslim. She's a Christian. So I say she believes in God and Christ. I'm not going to say she's a Christian. She hasn't accepted Christ as a personal savior. However, just recently she's suspecting him of infidelity. I'm caught in the middle, and both of them are like in my ear. I'm listening to her side of the story. I'm listening to her side of the story, and I'm trying to give them some wise counsel. I have like 30 years difference in our ages, so I've seen a lot of scenarios. She's not letting it go. She's found out where the girl works at. She come out going up there confronting the woman about she messing with her man, and she even mentioned getting physical. And I'm trying to. I come out of a Christian family. My mother's a pastor. My father's a pastor. And I'm trying to give her some wisdom about how to handle this thing. But it seems to me like she doesn't want to forgive. She doesn't want to let it go. She wants that confrontation. I'm trying to explain to her, you're just going to take it to another level once you go there.
Okay, John, I'm going to have to stop you there. I'm going to let the Reverend Doctor respond.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the misunderstandings about forgiveness is that it means that there are no consequences. That isn't what we teach. Okay. What we teach is that, Jesus is, wants us to be merciful, but then he also wants us to be concerned about justice. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You tithe mint and cumin a deal, but you neglect the weightier matters like justice and mercy and faith." And so it's not either or, justice or mercy. It's both and. And there are consequences to our behavior. God is a merciful God, a gracious God, a forgiving God, but he's also a just God. So I think sometimes people believe that to forgive them means that you're going to keep turning the cheek and going to continue to put up with behavior that is unwarranted. And so I think part of perhaps your admonition is to be reminded that there are consequences for our behavior. And if people continue to do what they're doing, then they need to be clear in terms of what those consequences might be. So to the extent that they believe that forgiveness means they need to keep putting up with behavior that is godless, as though there are no consequences, then I think that then that's a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Before we take any other callers, I want to get back specifically to the work that you do with cancer patients. And how is it that you can help increase their hope without giving them false hope? What are the things that you do?
Sure. Many of our patients come to us after having sought treatment at other hospitals. And so to your audience, I would say this, as a minister of the gospel, get two opinions. If you have cancer, get two opinions and then treat where you trust. Two opinions and treat where you trust. Very often what happens, Tiffany, is that people will go to their local care provider and it's not until that isn't working out that they begin to seek other options. So very often we're getting patients coming to us whose doctors have told them to go home, get your affairs in order. There's nothing more that can be done. When, as a matter of fact, that isn't true in many, many cases.
Wow.
And so the patients that I'm speaking to at our hospital very often are feeling very hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And what we teach at our hospital is that God gives people hope. The Bible says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
Mm.
We teach them at the very beginning, technology does not give you hope.
Mm-hmm.
Technicians do not give you hope. Doctors mm-hmm. do not give you hope. God gives you hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best that we can do then is to help alleviate barriers to the hope that we believe God wants them to enjoy. And
mm-hmm.
so we attempt to try and talk to our patients, because very often what keeps people stuck in hopelessness are things that are not true.
Mm-hmm.
Truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And so we attempt to identify barriers to the hopefulness.
Mm-hmm.
For example, statistics. Won't get into all the details about statistics, but
mm-hmm.
statistics do not mean what people think they mean.
Okay.
And so after explaining to them what they mean, I refer them to our website, cancercenter.com,
mm-hmm.
where we show the 10 most common cancers we treat. So they'll realize
mm-hmm.
that, you know, perhaps what they believed about the statistics that
mm-hmm.
they had been told
mm-hmm.
Isn't all there is to say about statistics. So that sort of thing.
We okay.
want to increase people's levels of hopefulness without giving them false hope.
Now, this sounds so so amazing. And I'm thinking about people who have other diseases that are not cancer related, who could definitely use this encouragement, who could use this conversation. Do you have any outreach for people who are not cancer patients that could definitely benefit from what it is that you're doing?
We have a program called Our Journey of Hope, which your listeners can learn more about on ourjourneyofhope.com. But we travel all over the country helping
mm-hmm.
churches establish cancer ministries.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have other resources, such as the forgiveness education programs, which, by the way, are free
mm-hmm.
to local churches and faith communities. And so, look, some hospitals are pay-for service hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
You break your arm, they're going to fix your arm, they're going to bill you for your arm.
Mm-hmm.
We are a health organization.
Mm-hmm.
We are concerned about people finding health,
mm-hmm.
not treating just a tumor,
mm-hmm.
but the whole person. And so we take what we have learned about helping people deal with emotional wounds,
mm-hmm.
Psychological traumas,
mm-hmm.
Nutrition, and so on and so forth, to help them create the best chance of having a healthy, happy life.
All right. Fantastic. I know we only have a few more minutes, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time, but I do want to take a direct question for you, Pastor, from Derek. He's calling in from New Jersey as a question for you. Derek, good morning. You're live on the air.
Dr. Berry, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I just have a question. I'm a pastor also. I have a couple people in my church who have come through cancer. One is a child, one is an adult, and I've noticed behavioral changes in them, almost bipolar-type behavior following going through cancer. Have you had any research done on that or any comments on that?
Well, I know that the diagnosis of cancer alone is traumatic. Some people have to be treated for the emotional aspects of their disease before you can even get around to treating the disease itself. So, you know, it's important to realize the diagnosis is traumatic, and it's also important to realize that after a person has been traumatized, there are very often some distinct personality changes.
Mm-hmm.
Just for example, if you were to take a young 18-year-old young man or woman, you send them to Afghanistan, they're not going to come back the same person. The traumas of war are going to permanently change their brain.
Mm-hmm.
They are never going to be the same people. Why in the world would we think fighting a war against cancer is going to have any less of a traumatic impact upon us?
Mm-hmm.
So cancer, in some cases, by the way, the diagnosis of cancer can create very positive benefits. They can realize, mm-hmm. you know what, I'd always thought I was going to live to be X, Y, and Z, and
mm-hmm.
I was going to build my retirement home or whatever. I'm going to change my life now. I'm going to go in a new direction with my life. We call that benefit finding.
Mm-hmm.
As people of faith, we say all things work together for good. So even the diagnosis of cancer can trigger positive behavior changes, but then, of course, also negative changes as well.
Now, what about especially in children? Any research on that at all, the effects of going through cancer for a young child?
I'm not a specialist in children. At CTCA, we treat adults 18 years and older, so I'm not an expert in that area. But I do know this. I know even children who've experienced horrible tragedies and traumas in their own life can actually have benefits out of that too. So let's not lose hope in our young people who've experienced trauma. Let's continue to encourage them and love them.
All right.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Derek, for your phone call. All right. And we are out of time, but Reverend Dr. Barry, please give us a website, a phone number for people to reach out to you, especially those who are suffering with cancer and could definitely use the help of the pastoral care team.
Sure. If they're interested in the work that we're doing, they can look up ourjourneyofhope.com, ourjourneyofhope.com. That'll take you to a website that you can be in contact with us. If you would like us to come to your church to talk about some of these things again, It's at no cost to the local churches. If they would like to learn more about cancer and cancer treatment, cancercenter.com, cancercenter.com is where I would direct your audience.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Awesome conversation. Amazing work that you're doing.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tiffany.
All right. Much love going out to our offsite producer, Donovan West, and our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues or starts up right after this. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.